Welcome to the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Lynch Potter, just a guy who's trying to live a great life and learn the best way to live it. This show is for the everyday human being that feels exactly how I feel, and every week I will bring you weekly episodes on how to get better mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially so you can have a great mental diet.
Welcome to episode 61 of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. I'm coming to you today from Taormina, Sicily. And if I lean on this table, it seems to rock. And I'm sitting in our kitchen right now of our Airbnb, and the internet is pretty crappy. So hopefully this records well. And I hope you're doing well. I hope your week's going well. I hope your month's going well. Spring is coming into season here in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. It's been an amazing trip so far. It's been nice to take a rest. It's a mind-expanding experience going traveling. You meet people, you see people, you understand things that I don't think could be understood without traveling. But I don't know, because I've never not traveled. Once you travel, you can't not travel. So I highly encourage any person that's thinking about traveling and maybe something's holding them back, just go for it. You're going to die one day. Life is about experiences. It's not about material things. It's about experiences. It's about memories with people you care about, and memories with yourself. But that's not what this episode's about. This episode is an interesting episode. It's something that I have and still do struggle with, which is boundaries, particularly when it comes to helping people. Now, what is helping people? Helping people is, it's interesting because helping people could come in many different forms. And a lot of people think that helping somebody is doing some kind of behavior, acting in a certain way, but it ends up actually hurting that person. So, for example, if I'm walking along in the garden out there and I see this cocoon, right? And I see that a butterfly is trying to break out of this cocoon. If I try and help that butterfly, like, oh, I'm helping this butterfly. Well, I'm actually not, because here's what happens. If I help that butterfly break out of its cocoon, it does not develop the strength in its wings to be able to fly. It's an amazing analogy for people. For many years, I tried to help people, but I would end up making them weaker or not allowing them to develop the strengths that they needed to really become a strong person. Now, in this course that I'm taking called Being True to You, psychedelic integration course, I'm learning about this a lot, and a lot is coming up for me personally. Like, when you start learning about these things, a lot comes up personally. Like, oh, I do that, I do this, I do that all the time. And it's like, what part of me thinks that I need to go help all these people or do all this kind of stuff? And there's nothing wrong with helping people, but when it's coming from a place of there's something wrong with me, and if I could just help so many people, then maybe it would get rid of this feeling. And it's coming from a place of lack. It's like an archetype called like the wounded healer, where somebody thinks that they're going to go heal a bunch of people, which, by the way, you can't heal anybody. You cannot heal anybody. You cannot do anybody's inner work for them, because otherwise it wouldn't be called inner work. The only person that you can help is yourself. Now, this becomes very, very difficult when it's people that are very close to you. For example, say you're a mother and you have a son who's an addict. That's very hard. Or you have a spouse that is an addict. Or just any person that you deeply care about that from your perspective, you can see that they have an unhealthy behavior, an unhealthy addiction, or they're going down a path that, in your perspective, you think is bad. So you try to do everything you can to stop that person because it's coming from a place of love. Here's what I've learned, and it's a hard truth to sit with, is that this life is not a Disney movie. It would be nice that if everybody made it, it would be nice that if everybody could be successful or deal with their trauma or deal with their wounds or whatever it may be or whatever you see, but it's not a Disney movie. And for a long time, I used to take on other people's things. And just like my last episode, 6 ways to release your burdens. I would basically hear people's stories, hear people what people are going through, and I would take it on for myself. Somebody would tell me about their financial situations, and I would wake up very early in the morning thinking about ways that my friend Bob could make more money. And it would stress me out. It would just disrupt my sleep. I would obsess over it because I'm like, well, maybe I can help, or maybe if I could get him a job with me. I'm pretty good at making money, which is something that I spent the last 10 years becoming obsessed with. It's like, how can I make more money? Like, how can I make money? And I've done that so many times. I got so many people jobs where I worked because they were struggling financially or they were going through something. But that's exactly what they needed to go through because they are the person that got themselves there. Now, here's what I'm not saying. Can you get your friend a job? Of course you can. But where is it coming from within you? Do you have an attachment to that? Do you need to save them? Because here's the thing. If you have a belief that you need to save people, you're basically saying that they are broken and that there's something wrong with them. It's pretty blunt, but that's the belief. You can't save anybody because the very belief that you need saving or that somebody needs saving is the same belief that there's something wrong with somebody. And the belief that there is something wrong with you is the actual thing that is getting in the way of you realizing there's nothing wrong with you at all. The great paradox that all humans deal with is that this not enoughness that I speak about all the time. I talk about it in a lot of different episodes. I constantly talk about it, something I'm very passionate about. And it's something that I've dealt with and that you have dealt with, people you know have dealt with, that everybody's dealt with, that feeling of like, I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. And how do you create these boundaries? Like, if you're this person and you want to help people and you care about people and you love people, and it's like, how do you create these boundaries? How do you not lose yourself in the attempt to help others? Do I have an answer? No. Can I share some things that you should be aware of in your own life? Yeah, because I've dealt with it myself. Number one thing for me would be, let's use the first one, if it's disrupting your sleep, then this is not in order and it's also not in priority. It's just the first thing that comes to mind. If you are thinking about somebody all the time and it's disrupting your sleep and it's really affecting you, and you could be a mom or a dad and you have a son that's going through something, it's so hard for me to say, oh, yeah, just not let it disrupt your sleep. But here's the thing. You have to come first. You have to come first. Because if your cup is empty, it's very hard to be there in an emotionally strong and supportive way for that person that's maybe going through something hard if you have also jumped into the boat with them. But the story recently of this mother who had an addicted an addicted child. And she was sharing a story, and she was sharing all the ways that she had tried to save him. And even when he was in the midst of his addiction, she was still trying to save him with not wanting anybody to know about what he was going through. And it's a way to protect him, the motherly protection. And all mothers do this, and all fathers do this. They want to protect their children. And I've seen it in with my own journey, with my own mum and dad, is that they did a very good job at letting me basically metaphorically burn my hand on the stove a few times. Because if they don't burn their hand on the stove metaphorically, which is maybe losing a job, getting kicked out of a house, losing that relationship with that person that was good for them, then they will not learn what they need to learn to become strong. That butterfly's wings will be weak, and they will not be able to fly on their own, and they will constantly need their mum or their dad or their sister or their brother or their husband or their wife. And that's how codependency occurs. Codependency occurs because one person is enabling a behavior in somebody else, and that on the flip side, they're probably enabling each other in certain ways, and it's just a bit of a mess. This person that was talking about the child that had addiction, because of the work they'd done in themselves, came to the place where they accepted that their child might die. And that if that was the case, then that was the case. And unfortunately, that is a very hard thing to face. And I think a lot of parents and families who have dealt with addiction, for example, you eventually come to that point, because the only way for that person not to die is literally just to lock them in a room by themselves. And what kind of life is that? It's like lock them in a padded wall, they're not allowed to leave, they have to go to prison, basically. Are you going to do that? Are you going to lock them up? No. So these boundaries that need to be created, it's like you can love people and care about people, but also not lose yourself in the process. Now, that is a hard thing to deal with. I don't have all the answers, like I said, but if it's affecting your health, for example, if you are not eating, if you are not sleeping, if it is affecting you at work, if it's affecting your relationship with your spouse, if it's affecting your relationship with other family members, for example, then that is a very good sign that you have overextended how much you can do to help this person, and it may actually be perpetuating the problem, whatever it may be. It could be, for example, in my early 20s, and my dad said this to me a few years ago, he's based on this time where I was very unpleasant, and it's because I was very hurt. My mom was going through cancer at the time in my early 20s. I was doing a lot of steroids. I was partying a lot. I was sleeping around a lot of different women. I never committed to a relationship with any of them. I was just like very lost. And I thought I wasn't. I portrayed this image that I was crushing it. I had an amazing body. I looked insane, but on the inside, I was hurting a lot. And I started treating people like my dad in a very poor way. And he said something to me a couple of years ago. He's like, I loved you and I always did love you, but I didn't like you. And I remember hearing that, it hit me, and I understood exactly what he meant, that the love was always there. I could always come to him when the world came crashing down, but he had to leave me. And him loving me was leaving me to deal with all this shit that I was dealing with, and to come to the answers on my own, and to realize that all these external seeking, whether it was trying to look a certain way externally, selling drugs, trying to be cool, the hollowness of trying to seek out casual sex all the time, and then the reaction and how strongly I would emotionally react when anybody ask me any question about it. I had to go through all of that to become who I am today. You have to get humbled to deal with that. But here's the thing. If my dad had been there and be like, oh, do you need some money? I know that you're not, you got fired from this job, or I know that you got kicked out of this place. Do you want to stay with me? I got kicked out of like 5, 6 places within like a 2, 3 year period because I was unpleasant to live with. I wasn't a bad person. I was just unpleasant to live with. I would leave my stuff around. I would leave my washing around. I would just not respect other people's spaces because I didn't respect my space. I didn't respect myself in the way that I needed to. And if he had have came at me and done all these things to me, it would have made me weak. I wouldn't have developed the backbone that I needed from feeling the sting of all these times that I'd let myself down and other people down. And when I'm describing this, I can guarantee it. It could be somebody that is an employee of yours. It could be somebody that is a friend of yours, a family member of yours. There's some relationship somewhere in your life that maybe you are overextending yourself, or maybe that you are not doing enough. Maybe you can go too far the other way where you're like, oh, fuck them. Let them figure it out themselves. Yeah, but do be there with love and encouragement and encourage them and try and speak to their true nature and their true self, the person that you know for them to be down, like deep down with inside them. Try to encourage that person as best you possibly can. But this boundary thing is so important because if you don't get it right, you could spend years and years and years like I did trying to save people, trying to help people. And some people are just not ready yet. So the saying I always used to say, it's like you can't steer a parked car. If somebody doesn't want to put it in drive, you could be sitting in the passenger seat all you want. Hey, over there, look how great that would be. Wouldn't it be amazing to lose 50 pounds? Wouldn't it be amazing to get that raise at work? Wouldn't it be amazing to be in a healthy relationship? Wouldn't it be amazing to start your own business and find financial freedom? Whatever it may be. And you're trying to yank it into drive for them. And you might even put it in drive for a little bit, but eventually they are not ready. And eventually you are spending too much energy, too much time trying to help somebody that may not be ready yet because you care about them and you love them. For example, somebody's addicted to heroin. Wouldn't it be amazing to be sober? Yeah, it would. And they might even cry and they might even be upset and they might even say that they want it. But until they truly feel what they need to feel, whether or not it's trouble with the law, whether or not it's losing a friend to an overdose, whether or not it's getting kicked out of the home, whether or not it's losing a job, they won't feel that internally and start doing their inner process and their inner work to change. And it's not your job. In fact, I'm going to end it with this. If you, how do I explain this? It's another experience I had with a plant medicine ceremony, but it linked to a conversation that we were having over that particular weekend with the person who was hosting it. He was talking about that it is disrespectful to somebody else's soul to do what I'm talking about. And I remember hearing that. I was like, that sounds extremely harsh. Like, if somebody said to me, hey, man, you're disrespecting my soul, I'd be like, oh, fuck, sorry. I'm like, holy shit. I was deep in the psychedelic space, and I saw kind of the shape of an egg. And it was this blue kind of egg in a way. And then I saw this one next to me, and it was separated. And it was like, this is your soul, this thing you're in, this egg-shaped. And it was like a teardrop. And it was blue, it was amazing, it was beautiful. And then I looked outside of this kind of nodule, this blue kind of egg-shaped thing. And I saw another egg-shaped thing next to me. And it was like, that is Lexi. That is Lexi's soul. And by you trying to do whatever you think that she needs to do in her path or her process of whatever she needs to do, you are disrespecting her soul's journey and why she was born and why she's here. Do you understand? I was like, I think so. And then it zoomed out. I saw like a sea of it, billions of these little blue things as far as the eye could stretch in every direction. And I saw these ones, I could hear this screaming. And I was like, what is that? It's like, that is a seven-year-old Bangladeshi girl who's dying of starvation. I was like, what the fuck? Like, what can I do? Like, nothing. That's her soul's journey to learn what it's like to be here in this reality. And when she dies in this way, she will go back to the ocean where you all came from. And then she'll come back and experience your life one day, just like you'll experience her life. So you understand it can be more compassionate. Like, whoa. And even sharing this, I know that it might be confronting to hear that, and you might get triggered hearing that. But that is my experience. And that is something that I experienced. And maybe that there's something that you can learn from me sharing this about boundaries and about how you can love and be compassionate and care about people. But if people are struggling, maybe that's exactly what they need to go through. So don't clip people's wings. Don't cut people out of the cocoon. It's not your job. Your job is to be there when their wings are expanded and they're broken out of their cocoon and be like, fuck yeah, I knew you could do it. I love you. Let's go make an amazing life together. So hope this helps. Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Mental Dietitian Podcast. If you found any value at all, please share this with a family member or a friend, or just a guy or a gal walking down the street, just anybody at all, if you feel like it could help them and benefit them from the conversations that we're having. It would mean the world to me if you could also leave a review. It helps grow the show. It helps the algorithms. And I also do love connecting with my listeners, so please reach out to me on social media. The best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram. And my Instagram handle is Aaron Lynch Potter, and that's spelled AHRENLYNCHPOTTER. Thank you so much once again.